Well, then the Bible tells us from the city of Lydda that Peter is beckoned to come to a city called Joppa. And that's where we pick up tonight. And we're going to start in verse number 36. And I want us to notice several truths from Acts chapter number 9 tonight. And we'll make several applications along the way. So hopefully the Lord will teach us something from the chapter. But then hopefully as we are studying, we'll see some ways that we can apply some things to our life tonight as well. So we'll start in verse number 36. And here's what I want us to see in verse number 36. I want us to notice the reputation of a lady named Tabitha. The Bible tells us about this lady named Tabitha starting in verse number 28. And it talks about her reputation. And I want us to notice some things about her. Look with me if you would at verse number 36. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas," which means what the Bible's trying to say there is there was another name that Tabitha would go by, and that was the name Dorcas, which would be her Greek name. So her Greek title would be Dorcas, but so she would go by either of those names, Tabitha or Dorcas. So we see her reputation here. Look at what it says. "This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did." So now let's notice the reputation of this lady named Tabitha. The Bible tells us that she's from a city called Joppa. Now this city is it lays 50 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Now a lot of times we use Jerusalem as our point of reference because we know that all of the work that was done to establish the early church there in the city of Jerusalem. So 50 miles northwest of Jerusalem would lie this city called Joppa, and it was on the Mediterranean Sea. Now, you might remember Joppa because of a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament of our Bible. That might be causing your mind to really think about this city named Joppa because we see this in the book of Jonah, don't we? The Bible tells us in the story of Jonah that we see in the book of Jonah that this is the city where Jonah fled to catch a ship. Remember, he was going to catch a ship that was headed to the city of Tarsus because the Bible says that God had called him to go to the city of Nineveh and preach the word of God. So he gets on this boat. He goes to the city of Joppa, which again would lie on the was lying on the Mediterranean Sea, and he got in that ship and he headed to Tarsus in the complete opposite direction of where God called him to go in the city of Nineveh. And we know that because of his disobedience, the Bible says that great storm comes up, and he tells mariners on that boat, "It's me. I'm the problem. And if you'll just cast me overboard, everything will go well." And they do cast him overboard. The sea calms down, and then God had that great fish prepared, right, to swallow up Jonah until Jonah did what God asked him to do. So we're familiar with the city of Joppa with that. Well, the Bible tells us that this lady named Tabitha is from there, and the Bible says that she has a great reputation among the believers. As a matter of fact, the Bible even describes her with a word. Look at the word the Bible describes her with in verse number 36. It says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple." Disciple. The Bible refers to her as a disciple, which really we would understand the word disciple as being a follower of Jesus, right? So God desires that every one of us be a disciple. We all ought to be followers of Jesus. If we have gotten to a place, first of all, where we've trusted Jesus as our Savior and put our faith and trust in Him, acknowledged our sin, believed that He died for us, called on Him to be our Savior, then we need to be a disciple. We need to be a follower of Jesus. So just that word disciple speaks a lot about what Tabitha was. She was a child of God because she was a disciple, and she was a follower of the Lord. Well, the Bible tells us, and we're going to see this in verse number 40 primarily, but the Bible tells us that she helped people in many ways. This was her reputation. She was known as a disciple. She was known as a lady who helped people in many ways. She was a lady who was known for taking the talents that God had given her and using those talents to be a blessing to others. By the way, there's an application right there. We can pause for just a moment. Listen, as God's people, let's take the talents God has given to us. Let's take the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given with us. He promises that when we get saved, when we trust Him as our Savior, He gives to us spiritual gifts. We read about that in the book of Corinthians, the book of Romans as well. So He gives us spiritual gifts. We're to take those spiritual gifts and we're to use them for the honor and the glory of the Lord, and we're to use them to be a blessing to others. Application right there. Let's use the gifts and the talents that God has given us to be a blessing to others. So this lady named Tabitha was used in a mighty way. Well, let's notice what the Bible says about her reputation. First of all, we notice this. She had a good name. She had a good name. She was referred to again as a disciple, which means that she was a follower of the Lord. She had a good name. She had a good reputation. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. More valuable than even the riches that you can obtain in this world is to have a good name, a good reputation. What is said about you would speak to your character in a good way. She had a good name, but number two, I want you to notice, the Bible says she was full of good works. She was full of good works. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 36. It says this, "This woman was full of good works." Now, can I pause here just for a moment and say this? Good works are not going to get you to heaven. You know, there are some that there are some that are believing in that. They're trusting in that to get them to heaven. I mean, I'm sure you've heard people say this before. I know I've had people that have said this before when I've tried to witness to them and tell them how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Well, I'm just hoping that when I get to heaven, my good works will outweigh my bad works. And God will allow me to enter into heaven because my good works have outweighed my bad works. Well, good works cannot get us to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible describes even our righteousness, even that which we do good, as a pile of filthy rags, he says in the book of Isaiah. And he even says in the book of Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There is no one that could possibly do enough good works in order to enter heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves," nothing you can do, "it's the gift of God, not of works." There, that lets us know it, right? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." See, if it's of our works, we would boast, wouldn't we? We'd say, well, my good works outweighed somebody else's. You know, the Bible says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The glory of God is His perfection, and He's letting us know we've come short of it. So even if our good works might outweigh somebody else's good works, our good works are not going to take us to heaven. But can I say this? God does desire, though, that we be identified and characterized by good works. God desires that of His children. So even though good works are not going to get us to heaven, God desires that His children are identified and characterized by good works. As a matter of fact, the Bible even talks about that a little bit in the book of Galatians when it gives us the list of the fruit of the Spirit. There's the works of the flesh that are listed in Galatians chapter 5, and then we have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, those nine character traits that God wants us to have are listed this way: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and then He says goodness. Goodness is another way of saying, hey, we have uprightness of heart, which means that we are doing to others that which is good and that which is right. And before the Lord, we're doing that which is good and that which is right. So God desires that we have good works in our life, and He wants us to be identified and characterized as Christians by our good works. Now, if we would say, well, I doubt the truth of that statement, well, let's look at some Bible verses, if you would. Let's take a little journey here through the New Testament for just a moment. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment? Ephesians chapter 2, and look down with me, if you would, at verse number 10. So Ephesians chapter 2, and excuse me, if you found it, excuse me, down at verse number 10. The Bible says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," what's the next two words? "Good works." So we are God's workmanship. It's God's way of saying, you are my masterpiece. Man, that's good, isn't it? You are His masterpiece. And He says, "You're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God wants us as His children to walk in good works. But then specifically, God even narrows it down to women in the Bible as well. And that women would be identified by their good works. And we're going to see that real quickly. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And the reason why I read this passage is because we're dealing with a woman here, aren't we? In Acts chapter 9, we're talking about a woman, this lady named Tabitha or Dorcas. And her reputation was one of good works. Well, what does the Bible say ought to be true of a lady when it comes to her good works? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says this, "In like manner also that women," All right, so he's specifically now dealing with women. Ladies, take note of this. He says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So he's talking about what ought to be true of a woman, things that ought to characterize the life of a woman that's a Christian. Now, these are not things I say. These are things God says. And so, again, we would take note of them. What does God want me to do? Notice it says, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, meaning that should not be the source of our beauty. The inside, or what's going on in the heart, is the source of our beauty, is what God's saying. And then notice what he says to ladies in verse number 10. Watch this. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. It's, again, it goes back to the thought of the matter of the heart. We're doing what we do for the Lord, not to get us to heaven, but so that we can be identified as a child of God or characterized as a child of God with our good works, with works that are going to bring honor and glory to God. And the Bible says that's the way that Tabitha was recognized, the reputation that she had. Look with me, if you would, really quick to the book of Titus. We're in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, and look with me, if you would, at verse number 8. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8. Now, we're concentrating on what the Bible has to say about good works. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, it says this. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. Okay, so who's he talking to there? He's talking to Christians, right? He's talking to people that are children of God because he said, you've believed in God. Now, notice what he says about them. Might be careful to maintain good works. Now, notice what he says at the end of verse number 8. This is important. We got to catch the whole verse. Look at the end of verse number 8. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, is that trying to tell us that good works are going to get us to heaven? No. But he is saying that God desires that we be identified and characterized by our good works. Then look at one more verse, if you would, the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10, and the Bible says this in Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does God want us to be fruitful in? He wants to be fruitful in good works, that we would be identified and characterized in our life as Christians to have good works in our life. Live in such a way that we could leave a godly testimony. Can we say that's what Tabitha did? She lived in such a way where the Bible says she left a godly testimony to others that were still alive, the others that were still on earth. And I trust, application time for a moment again. I trust that we would all get to a place in our lives where we would feel, we would have that desire to live in such a way where we can leave a godly testimony when our time on this earth has come to an end. That we would be identified and characterized by individuals that had a godly testimony. Notice about her, she had a good name. She had good works, but notice one more thing about her reputation. The Bible also says she was full of works of mercy and love. Notice back to Acts chapter 9 for a moment, and in verse number 36, it says this at the end of the verse. It says that this woman was full of good works, so she had a good name, she was full of good works, but the Bible also says, and alms deeds which she did. Now we would describe or define alms deeds as deeds that would be full of mercy. So Tabitha, her reputation was described this way. She was a lady that was full of works of mercy. But I think we could use another word as well. She was full of works of love. She was a lady that was identified with works of mercy and works of love. You know, there's a proverb that's given to us. And it's at the end of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. And if you're familiar with Proverbs 31, you know that Proverbs 31 is the proverb that talks to us about the virtuous woman. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Then it begins to define the virtuous woman. Ladies, can I ask you, to read through Proverbs 31 and make it your goal as a child of God, that you'd be that virtuous woman that God desires you to be, that you'd be the wife God wants you to be, and the mother God wants you to be, the Christian lady and woman that God wants you to be. Well, notice how that virtuous woman is described in Proverbs 31, and I'm going to read verse number 20. It says this: she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. What does the Bible say of the virtuous woman? She is trying her best to help the poor. She's trying her best to help the needy. Can I say this about Tabitha? Because Tabitha was described as a lady being full of mercy and full of love, or at least full of works of mercy and love, we could say that Tabitha was a gracious lady. Tabitha was a giving lady. As a matter of fact, we're going to see this a little bit later on in verse number 40. She was described as being a lady that helped the widows. She was a help to the widows. Now remember what the virtuous woman was described as. She was one that would help those that were needy. Can I say this? As a helper and showing kindness and generosity and a giving heart to the ladies that were widows, it's a picture of her wonderful kindness, the reputation of her life. And can I say this? People were grateful to her for that. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that as the passage of Scripture goes on, people were grateful to Tabitha for what she had done. So now let's see the second thought tonight. We saw, number one, the reputation of Tabitha. But number two, in verse number 37, I want us to notice the request for Peter. The request for Peter. So the Bible describes to us the reputation of this lady named Tabitha. And then the Bible tells us they request that Peter comes and visits her because something has happened to Tabitha. Look with me, if you would, starting in verse number 37. We'll read down to verse number 39. It says this: and it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed. So the Bible tells us now this lady named Tabitha, who had such a great reputation, she dies, and the Bible tells us they take her body and they wash her body, and then they place it somewhere. Look at the end of verse number 37. They laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa. Now, do you remember who's in Lydda? Peter's in Lydda, isn't he? And they are now in the city of Joppa. The Bible tells us they come to the knowledge that Peter is in Lydda. And so notice what it says: and the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So now they're asking Peter to come. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 39. So this is the request for Peter to come. Verse 39, then Peter arose. And by the way, we're going to see some applications here in just a moment. Then Peter arose and went with them. Look at the end of verse 39. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. Now notice what they show Peter. This is what Tabitha has done for them. Notice the Bible says, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas, or Tabitha, made while she was with them. Now, let's remember where Peter was. Peter is in the city of Lydda, and do you remember what's happening in the city of Lydda? There's a great revival that's been breaking out. He's healed, or God has healed through using Peter. He heals this man named Aeneas, and the Bible tells us as a result of the people in the city of Lydda seeing this, they turn to the Lord. So there's a great revival that is taking place. Many are turning to the Lord. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 39 that Peter leaves that. He leaves that revival that's taking place in Lydda for the purpose of going to comfort those Christians who are grieving and are distressed by Tabitha's death. Now, I think there's an application there. We as God's people, we as Christians need to be sensitive to take the time to help people who are hurting and try to take the time to encourage them. I'm so thankful. Even this week, I got an email from Miss Brenda White, and she thanked me for my prayers, and she told me how things went with her cataract surgery, and then she proceeded to tell me of how many people from the church told her that they were praying for her, phone calls that she got to try to encourage her as she went in. That's what we need as God's people to be sensitive of. That we would comfort people and encourage people in their times of need. And that's exactly what God used Peter to do. Now think about this. Peter's going to leave this revival to go there to Joppa for the purpose of comforting and encouraging. And God was going to use this invitation that was given to Peter to go to Joppa to be able to see a great ministry opportunity. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. And God is calling upon Peter to come. And the Bible tells us Peter goes and he takes advantage of that opportunity. There are going to be times in your life where you may be called upon for a certain situation or a time that somebody is going through in their life and you may not understand it all. But can I say, let's make sure we take advantage of those opportunities God gives us, because he just may turn it into a wonderful ministry opportunity. A lot of times we'll use that little phrase that God at times has divine appointments set up. We may not understand sometimes why we go through what we go through. You know, if I would have done things different, or if I would have been God, I'd have done things different. But God may be doing something in your life just so that he can give you a ministry opportunity. And here was an invitation from Peter to Peter. He took advantage of that opportunity, that invitation, and he came and God used it as a great ministry opportunity. Look at verse 39 if you would. The Bible says, then Peter arose and went with them. Now notice the condition of these widows when he gets there. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber and all the widows stood by him. What's the next word? They're weeping. The Bible tells us they're weeping. Now, I think they're weeping for a couple different reasons. I think they're remembering the life of Tabitha. And I think they're just like we would weep at somebody's funeral and after they've died, we're remembering their lives. They are remembering Tabitha, but they weren't just remembering Tabitha in just be an ordinary lady. She was a lady that was a helper. She was a lady that was a servant. She had the testimony of being a servant. Now, can I say this? Application time again. May we have the testimony of being a servant. May people be able to identify us or to have that character trait in our life of one that is a servant so that we can be remembered that way. She was a helper. She was a servant. And as a matter of fact, they even identify all that she had done by holding up the coats and holding up the garments. And they say to Peter, these are the things that Tabitha has made for us to take care of us and to provide our needs. So many lives had been touched by her sacrifice and by her generosity, that the Bible tells us they're remembering her life as a servant and as a helper, and they're weeping over her. You know, the Bible tells us that even as a church, this is exactly the responsibility that God gives to us. The Bible says in the book of James that we're to help the fatherless and the widows in their times of need. And there may be some times as a church in which we would identify somebody as being fatherless or somebody being a widow that would just need some help and need some encouragement. And as children of God, we come along beside them and we try to comfort them. That's what the Bible says Tabitha was known for. She was a comfort to the widows of the church. Can I say this? In the Bible times that we are reading about here in Acts chapter number 9, widows, they would have had little means of support. And as a matter of fact, those coats and those garments that Tabitha had made them would be vital to even their survival. Because of the small means of support they had, even what she had made for them would be vital to their survival. So they're weeping for the loss of this lady that was a helper and was a servant. But you know what? It makes me think about weeping that takes place when someone dies today. We sit at somebody's funeral, and certainly there's weeping, there's sorrow. But you know, the Bible speaks in the book of 1 Thessalonians that if we know that somebody has been saved and they have a testimony of salvation, our weeping is a whole lot different, isn't it? Because the Bible says we're going to have sorrow. But it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13 that we sorrow not as those that have no hope. And we have hope if somebody has a testimony of knowing Jesus as their Savior. And if we know Christ as our Savior, we have the hope that we're going to get to see them again. Man, there's going to be a reunion that's going to take place. And what a meeting that's going to be. What a reunion that's going to be, right? We have family reunions here on earth. Maybe class reunions here on earth. But man, what a reunion that's going to be. We get to be with those who have already gone, so we don't have to sorrow. If we know Christ and we know that person that's gone to be with him, knows him, we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope. But we know this story here takes a little bit of a turn, doesn't it? Because I want you to notice number 3 tonight. I want you to notice the response of the Lord. Number one, we saw the reputation of Tabitha. Then we saw the request for Peter. So they asked for Peter to come. And then number three, I want you to notice tonight the response of the Lord. How did the Lord respond to this situation that Peter comes to there at Joppa? I want you to notice that the Lord uses Peter to perform a miracle. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 40. It says this, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, the Bible says she got up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, presented her alive." God uses Peter to perform a miracle. Now, again, may we be mindful of the fact that Peter didn't bring her back to life. The power of God brought her back to life. So it wasn't Peter that did the work of the miracle. It was just God using Peter to do the work of the miracle. God was the one who gave her life back. And so it's not the actions or the words of Peter necessarily. It's the power of God working in him. And remember what we said last week when we saw Peter help that paralyzed man, Aeneas, and helped him to get up and walk? We said this last Sunday night that God was allowing these apostles to perform these miracles for reasons. Number one, we said, because he was trying to confirm their authority. Now, the word of God at that time hadn't been completed yet. So we didn't have the complete entire scripture that we have that we're able to hold in our hands today. So God was using these men to perform these miracles so that he could confirm the authority that they had in their lives. But not only that, but he was trying to show the power of God. Again, it wasn't their power, but God's power that allowed that miracle to be performed. But then he was also using those miracles to turn people to him. And we saw that last week. As those that saw the miracle that God had performed through Peter to heal that paralyzed man, how the people began to turn to the Lord as a result of that. Now, I want you to notice a few things that happened in that verse that we just read. Look at verse number 40 quickly. It says, "But Peter put them all forth." And I want you to notice three things here real quick that I think we see in this verse that speaks to us about the response of the Lord. How did the Lord respond to this? And then how did God use Peter to do it? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 40. It says, and he kneeled down. The Bible says Peter kneeled down. I think that shows Peter's reverence for God. Peter had reverence for God, and he had reverence enough as he spoke to God to kneel down as he talked to God. It shows his reverence. But then notice what it says, number 2, verse number 40. He kneeled down and prayed. Because Peter was praying, I think it shows to us his dependence on God. So not only his reverence for God, but the fact that he was dependent upon God. He needed God to help him to perform this miracle. There was no way he could do it in his own power. He needed the power of God. So he showed reverence, but then he also, the Bible tells us, as he prayed, he showed dependence, but then notice what happens next. He turned him, and turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." What does that show to us? I think it shows to us that Peter was showing faith in God as well. If I turn to this lady and I begin to speak to her, God has enough power. He's believing this, trusting this by faith, that God has enough power to give life back to this lady. Now, quickly, as we finish, look at verse 41 for a moment. Verse 41 says this, "And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive." Listen, grief was replaced by joy, wasn't it? Man, here's great grief. They've lost this saint that has done so much to help them. She's been such a servant. And grief has been replaced by wonder and joy. And then I want us to notice the last thing in the last two verses, and we'll be finished tonight. I want us to notice the result of the miracle. What is the result of the miracle? We saw the reputation of this lady named Tabitha and the request for Peter to come and the response of the Lord. How did he respond to it? Well, the Bible tells us this lady is healed. A great miracle takes place by the power of God. But what are the results of this miracle? Look at verse 42 and 43. "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." What are the results of this miracle? Well, the news spread quickly. Now, we think about how news can really spread quickly today, right? You know, we've got the internet. We got social media. You know, we got all these different avenues newspaper. We had all these different ways. Wait, does anybody use the newspaper anymore? Anyway, internet, social media, all that takes care of that, right? Some people probably still use the newspaper, and we could spread news quickly that way. Well, think about their inability to do that, and yet the news still spread quick. That this lady named Tabitha has been raised from the dead, so the news spreads, and the Bible tells us because of that news spreading, many believed. Remember the miracle? Peter, why did God allow these apostles to perform miracles? To see people turn to Christ so that they would put their faith and trust as they notice what God has done. So God has used another miracle to confirm the message of the gospel so many will come and believe. And then the last verse of this chapter is very important as we go into chapter 10. So it's not so much tonight that we're going to concentrate on this, but when we move into chapter 10, it says this, and it came to pass that he, that's Peter, tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Now, if you know what happens in chapter number 10, you know that that last verse is very important because God is going to have something amazing happen in the life of Peter when we move into chapter number 10. But tonight, why don't we make application of what we've heard tonight? Many, many ways in which we can apply the message tonight. Let's think about the reputation of this lady. How would we describe our reputation? God desires that we be identified and characterized by good works. Would that be true of our life tonight? How would we describe our reputation? And then we see the request from Peter and how he took advantage of that opportunity God gave him. Let's take advantage of opportunities God gives us to help and to encourage others that are around us and to even share the gospel with others as well. And then we see the response of the Lord. God used Peter to perform that miracle, God's power in that miracle, so that many, the results of that miracle, so that many could come to trust Christ as Savior. Let's let God use us to see many people come to trust Christ. One of those ways that we want to be used in this week to come is with our Bible time that's quickly approaching. And why don't we be praying? Why don't we be asking God to help us as we work with these children that are going to come into this building so that we can present Christ to them and we can be seeing Christian young people growing in the Lord as well. Father, I thank you so much for the book of Acts. I thank you for the opportunity we've had to study through it tonight.